Welcome to a new episode of Land Grant Holy Land in Conversation. My name is Matt Tamanini. On this podcast, we talk to people in and around Ohio State athletics and the sporting world at large to bring you a different insight and perspective to the teams, athletes, and university that you love. On today's episode, this is kind of a milestone. It is something that I have been trying to get done for years, and it finally actually happened. We have one of the pillars of the Land Grant Holy Land community finally joining us on a podcast. It's been years since you've heard his voice in this feed, and that is Brett. Ludwizak.
Correct. Yes. Okay. Maybe if I was on podcast more, it'd be a little easier to roll off the tongue.
Yeah, it's your fault, basically, Brett. Yes. Ludwizak. So, Brett, thank you for joining us. This is a weird time in Ohio State sports, so I needed somebody who was going to speak some truth, because there's far too little of that in the Ohio State blogosphere, even though we try to pride ourselves on that at Land Grant Holy Land. But obviously the big news story is the fact that Ohio State canceled its game against Illinois on Saturday, making it the second canceled game of their season, meaning another canceled game will in fact result in them not playing in the Big Ten championship game, save some bizarre rash of cancellations across the rest of the league. Now, Brett, at Land Grant, I feel like as a whole, we are pretty much the only site that has raised an eyebrow at all about playing during this. But in terms of that, because it's a spectrum, we all have our own opinions. But I feel like it's safe to say that you are as far to the we shouldn't be playing college football during a pandemic side of things as anybody. Do you think that's a fair characterization?
Yeah, I'd say I'm a lot farther to one side than the other than a lot of people. I've tried during it to keep both sides open too. And for a while it seemed to be working, but now we're back to where it's not working.
Yeah, it's not working. And it's one of those things where I don't think that that's necessarily anybody's fault at Ohio State. I don't think it's anyone's fault at the Big Ten. I just feel like, I mean, maybe you can say their criteria are more stringent than other conferences, but that doesn't change the fact that this is a highly contagious virus that is airborne and is everywhere in the country. Things are going to go wrong. So I was interested because on Saturday, Gene Smith, Ryan Day, and the team physician, Dr. Jim Borchers, had a press conference. And basically, Gene Smith said, we could have played on Saturday. They had not met all of the criteria to cancel the game that was set up by the Big Ten. But what he said was he didn't think it was the right thing to do because cases were rising on the team. And he didn't think it was responsible for them to potentially put players who had the virus incubating but hadn't actually shown up yet in close proximity to players from Illinois. So that's great. I appreciate that on the medical side of things. But the other part of that, Brett, was that there was also obviously a decision made to try to shut this thing down as much as humanly possible so that they can play against Michigan State and still maintain their eligibility for the Big Ten championship game. What are your thoughts on kind of like this dual reasoning for canceling? One, on the responsible, prudent health side, and then once more on the strategic athletic side.
I think it's a smart move, sort of on both sides. Now, in terms of whether if they do end up playing and maybe something else happens with the Michigan game, it could backfire on them, obviously. But it's good to see them at least taking some initiative to like not try and force it there, because we've seen with other Big Ten teams, when you miss a game, you miss two games. So they're trying to at least cut this off to be able to play next week and obviously down the road against Michigan too, which even though Michigan's not Michigan, everybody still wants to see that just for tradition.
Yeah. What's interesting about this is that we don't know what players have tested positive. We don't know how many players have tested positive, but we kind of have the general knowledge that 7.5% of the total program population, which not only includes players, but also coaches and administrative staff, it's about 170 people, that threshold has been breached. And we know that if it's a player, they're out for 21 days. I don't see the Big Ten changing that. But Gene Smith said there hasn't been a discussion, but who knows if there is in the future. I can only imagine that the tinfoil hat wearing heads around the Big Ten would absolutely explode if the Big Ten reversed course and said, nah, just kidding, 14 days, 10 days, Ohio State players can play after missing, you know, one game. Do you think that there's a reason that they should pull back on this, or do you think that there's any chance that that actually happens?
I don't think there's a chance that it happens. I think maybe they could shorten it a little because the CDC, they've lessened the quarantine time. So, you know, you pretty much are suggesting 10 days now instead of 14 days. So maybe, you know, maybe you could go a little shorter than that, but I don't even know if you could do like make it 14 days instead of 21 on that, because, you know, you're only cutting off 4 days on the quarantine. But then again, I'm not a doctor or medical professional, and I don't pretend to be one.
No.
So, it's with this, we're learning stuff about the virus every day. So if they switched, you know, maybe shortened it a little bit, I wouldn't blame them. But we're so far along in the short season that it's sort of hard to do so without showing favoritism to other teams, you know, or people would perceive it that way because, you know, that's, just, you know, during quarantine, we have more time to formulate these conspiracy theories.
Well, and even if it's not favoritism, I mean, it could be any team. Like, let's say it was Rutgers even. Like, it just wouldn't necessarily be fair to Wisconsin, who went through this stuff at the beginning of the season, even if there was no ulterior motive or Machiavellian reason to do that. It just still wouldn't be, like, just on a base level fair.
Yeah, and I agree with that, too. I mean, you started the season with this set of rules, and, you know, that's how it should be all the way going through. Because like you said, you know, Wisconsin had to deal with it and other teams have had to deal with it too. So even though we're learning more with the season so compact, you just sort of have to roll with it how it is right now.
So I'm interested what you think the best course of action here for Ohio State is. Do you think that they should try to push for, you know, playing next week? Do you think they should try to say, okay, Michigan State's not going to happen, let's cancel it now so we can keep people quarantined as long as possible, potentially get ready for the season finale against Michigan, and then hope the chips fall where they may, not being in the Big Ten championship game? Where are your thoughts coming down on what the not only correct action from an athletics point of view, but also appropriate from a pandemic point of view as well?
I feel like if, you know, as the week goes along, if you're seeing cases trend downward, at least within the program, and you're having everybody separate doing virtual meetings, so there's no risk of transmission on that. I mean, I could see playing next week on that. I don't want to be so like doom and gloom all the time about this.
That's why you're here, though. That's why you're here.
Yeah, I know. It'd be nice to see them play, but I just wonder, there's so many unknowns too. Sort of have to play. That's the corner they're painted in right now. How's the college football playoff rankings committee going to judge teams, whether conference champions or not, how many games they played or not, who they played with or not in terms of missing players? That's why Ryan Day, you know, he gets all the credit for, and Gene Smith, for trying to make these decisions, to try and balance the what's best for the student athletes and what's best for the program too, and keeping everybody safe, but still trying to keep that high profile. The thing about it that scares me is, in Franklin County, we're having a harder time just overall in general. I mean, you look at the Columbus Crew; they're playing in the MLS Cup playoffs, and they had six cases. They're missing two normal starters. The Blue Jackets, they had cases. Yeah, you know, they've had, I think I heard like 7 to 10 of these cases on that too. And I even saw like on 10 TV the other day, I saw like overall in the whole pandemic, there's been like 50,000 new cases in Columbus or Franklin County. In the last month, there's been 20,000 of them too. So it's spreading, and it's such a tough decision too. I mean, I'd love to see them play, but you just have to do what's best in terms of health. And while a lot of people say they're young, they're going to shake it off, you don't know that with every case on that. That's what scares me.
Yeah. And one of the things you mentioned that Ryan Day and Gene Smith are making all these decisions on Sunday, just a few hours before we are recording right now. The website formerly known as Deadspin released an article entitled "Ryan Day and Ohio State Dared COVID, Then They Got It." Now, like I said, as a whole, Land Grant Holy Land does not have an editorial voice. Like, we let everybody speak for themselves. But I think most of us are on the side of like, playing is okay. I mean, it's iffy, and I wouldn't be upset if it didn't happen. But if they're going to do it, let's do it safely. And I think Ohio State and Ryan Day has tried to walk that line. This article to me was a hit piece and really distorted, you know, facts and destroyed it, distorted, you know, what Ryan Day's, you know, whole approach to this was. But do you think that now, looking back on how awful the college football season has been in terms of entire team, like LSU had, like, what was it, like 50% of their team get it, and then all these games that have been canceled, we've hit over 100 canceled or postponed games. Like, do you think that all of this effort was worth it? I mean, where do you, if you look back on the totality of what we have so far as the 2020 college football season, was this just a complete failure? Was it a mixed bag? How are you viewing what we've had so far?
I don't really think it was worth it, because when you look back at this season, you're just going to remember how much of a tire fire it was trying to get through it. And while they're probably going to crown a champion, even if whoever wins it, you know, there's sort of going to be an asterisk. It's like, all right, they won the championship, but it was during a pandemic, and you know, there's certain teams that couldn't even finish their schedules in that. So it's not like it's going to be like this hugely respected national championship. I mean, sure, it's nice to win one, but at what cost? That's what scares me about, you know, playing this season. And while it went off really well to start, better than I thought it was, it's catching up right now with so many cancellations in the last few weeks, coaches catching, and just the spread overall. You know, it's almost feels like a struggle just to finish out the regular season, and what lies after that, who knows?
Yeah, I mean, it seems like when the season started back in September for some leagues, October for others, things were not great nationally, but they were, you know, kind of on a lower plateau. But since then, they've started to trend up, and that is not the fault or responsibility of football coaches or even athletic directors or even conference commissioners. That is the fault of the people who are making decisions at a municipal, state, federal level, who have not done, I mean, in my opinion, anything or nearly enough to curb the spread of the coronavirus. And the reason that this season feels like it's just a battle of attrition at this point to see who can actually make it to the finish line is because not anything that the college football administrators did, but what like the actual governmental administrators have not done. So I wrote this before they actually canceled the Big Ten season the first time. Like, if you're going to be mad about there being college football during a pandemic, be mad at the people who didn't actually do enough to prevent the pandemic from still happening at the end of November when they first knew about it in January.
Yeah, and it's one of those things. I'm not blaming the players. I'm not blaming the coaches.
Sure, totally.
The administration. Yeah, you know, they're fighting for their jobs. Well, coaches, and I shouldn't say players, they're fighting for future jobs,
I guess.
You could say, in the NFL, where, you know, just the same way that you, myself, and other people all around the country are, you know, they're fighting to stay working. So you can't blame them on that. But the government just hasn't given us enough of the tools to succeed, because we could be a lot better off if people had taken this more seriously to begin with. But now we're in a place where it's just – every day, it's just more and more, and it just beats you down after a while.
Yeah, I mean, I saw a picture from an Australian rules football game, obviously in Australia, where everybody, the stands are packed. No one's wearing masks because they have no, in whatever, it was the NSW part of Australia, which I, north, southwest, I don't know what that means. But there's just really no actual community spread of the coronavirus right now. Mm-hmm. And it's frustrating that we couldn't get to that when obviously other countries were able to. Let's get off of the part of this discussion that'll probably get people mad at us. And let's talk about what you think is going to happen. Obviously, there are so many caveats. There are so many different factors that could happen between now and then. But as we stand here now on Sunday, November 29th, as I look at my calendar, What do you think happens in terms of the Big Ten championship game? Do you think Ohio State gets enough games into play? I'm assuming that you would pick Ohio State to beat both Michigan State and Michigan, so I'm not going to ask if you think they lose those games. It really just comes down to, do they get in enough games to actually qualify to play Northwestern on December 19th or whatever that is?
I think they do. With taking a little initiative this week, I think that will help against Michigan State. And then I'm just gonna think that Jim Harbaugh couldn't even plan to spread COVID around his team to keep Ohio State out of the Big Ten championship. I don't even think he'd be successful at that. So I'm gonna think they at least play enough games to go play in the Big Ten championship game, and then I think they would beat a Northwestern team. I mean, if they don't, yeah, then that's a big problem, because while what Pat Fitzgerald's doing is nice and everything, I mean, they play close games. Yeah, they've gotten lucky up through it for quite a while. And pretty much aside from the Maryland game, all of them have been like one score games and they've fallen behind. If Ohio State jumps out, they're not going to let Northwestern back in. Yeah. And it's a little worrying that Ohio State, at least until last week, their running game had been a little slow to get going, but I think you're seeing more and more production out of it, which is going to help going forward. Now you just need to be able to stay on the field, because their schedule lately has been so hit or miss on when they're playing, and you know, they haven't really been able to get into much of a rhythm. So as long as these two games go off, you know, they should be able to be clicking just in perfect timing, and hopefully to make a statement to impress any of the college football playoff voters.
All right, so let's say they do have one of these final two games canceled, and they are not eligible for the Big Ten championship game. From there, what do you think the committee is going to think about Ohio State? Obviously, they will still likely be undefeated. They will probably have a game against Wisconsin under their belt by that point in the Big Ten Champions weekend. They will have beaten Indiana, who is back in the top 10 in the AP poll at least already. So they will have two pretty good quality wins, although the one against Indiana was not nearly as impressive as it probably should have been. But they will have only played at that point six games. How do you think that, looking at the rest of the college football world, as I know you do for betting purposes, which we will get to here in a second, how do you think Ohio State stacks up, not in necessarily your mind, but in the mind of the college football playoff committee?
I would think that they would stack up pretty well, just because I know it's only supposed to be for the 2020 what they're looking at. But you look at how much Justin Fields coming back, some of the receivers, Olave and Wilson. And, it's sort of hard. Everybody wants to see, can Justin Fields match up against Trevor Lawrence again? So if both of them are positioned to be able to make the playoff, I think it's going to be tough for the college football playoff committee to keep them out. Some of it depends, too, on what happens behind them, like with Texas A&M, Florida. Now, while Texas A&M won last night against LSU, they weren't really impressive doing so. They just sort of slogged through that. So that's why Ohio State, they have to close out the season very strong, at least make a statement. They can't have any of these games where they just sort of sleepwalk through, build a lead like they did against Penn State, and then just sort of make some mistakes and let them hang around. They have to have some statement wins there. Obviously, you could do so against Michigan. While Michigan's not the same, it's always, a 30-40 point win against Michigan, and then you go on to do – yep, exactly. And you do that against Wisconsin, you have maybe 2-3 score win. That's impressive too. It can't be like last year's championship game where Ohio State was trailing a half and then comes back and wins by 10 points or whatever. Yeah. Now it's got to be closer to when Cardale Jones was quarterback.
I'm all for 59-0 one. Yeah.
Yep. Make the committee make a tough decision there. And when it comes down to it, if Ohio State's there, it's going to be hard to keep them out just because of the program, the prestige, the fan base, especially in a year when you're not going to have quite as much attendance in the stadium, if any at all. So you're going to want even more people watching on TV, and Ohio State draws.
Yeah, that's actually one of the main reasons, not the attendance and ratings, but, needing to show out. Like, that's one of the reasons I thought early in the season that I just expected Ryan Day with Justin Fields and that offense to just put up points at will. And we've seen that in the first half of games for much of this season. But after halftime, they don't necessarily like stop trying to make plays, and they don't like completely pull the reins back, but they just take like a much different approach. They're less creative. They kind of go a little at a slower pace. They still try to let Justin Fields make some throws downfield, but it's not creative. It's just kind of like, I'm going to throw it up. It's just a weird second half offense that I don't think has served them well. And, you know, I'm still suspect if they can make the college football playoff with just six games. But I tell you, if they would have blown out Indiana like it looked like they were going to in the third quarter, I think that would have been a huge feather in their cap to where I might have felt a little bit more confident about it. Maybe I would have felt more confident about them over a Texas A&M or even a Cincinnati at this point. This season has gone nothing like I expected to. And I'm just talking about on the field. Off the field, I had no expectations because who the hell knows what's going on. But this season's just been weird. So that brings me to the fact that I know nothing about college football and I have no idea what to expect. You, on the other hand, in your weekly Money Cash Joe's column, where you pick the biggest games in the country and all of the Big Ten games, you are killing it. You are 10 games above 500 this season coming into this weekend. How did you do for all of the games on this weekend? I don't know if you picked any Friday games and Saturday as well.
So between in the Big Ten, didn't do great. 2-3 out of the five games that were played. The national games, I did a lot better. I think it was 5-2. In those games. So I got at least two of the three that I picked on Friday, Iowa State and Oregon State, missing on North Carolina, even though they looked good early. And then yesterday, going back through it, the only one I lost was Alabama against Auburn, or because I picked Auburn with 24, and it was around there. It was 42-13, Auburn. Didn't quite score enough there, so but that was the only miss I had of those games. So at least was able to add a couple games on to staying above 500 there, and so hopefully the rest of the season, you know, keep going like that, just keep building on that record.
Yeah, I mean that puts you without I'm terrible at math. That puts you at like 13-ish games above 500. I guarantee you that's way better than Clay Travis's.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The season started off a little rough, you know. I'm like, oh, but yeah, it's been more good weeks than bad, at least. So that's all you can do.
Yeah. And at the beginning of the season, like, no one knew what the hell was going on. Everybody looked atrocious because they didn't have, you know, the time to kind of get ready. As teams have had the opportunity to kind of gel and get things, you know, worked out, they've gotten better. It's easier to kind of predict. But and that's kind of why I'm worried about Ohio State moving forward, because they haven't, you know, Alabama started the season looking, you know, pretty pedestrian, especially on defense. And they have worked themselves into a legitimate number one team in the country. Ohio State hasn't had as many opportunities to do that yet. That's what worries me more than anything else, yeah, is that they just haven't had the time on the field, whether that's practice or games, to get themselves prepared for high level competition. So I'm a little worried, but at this point, life is worry at, you know, in 2020. So that's not a surprise.
Yeah. And I mean, even if Ohio State does happen to make the playoff, the matchup against Alabama really scares me, just because of how well the Crimson Tide are playing.
And their passing game, especially.
Yeah, and it just scares me to think of what they could do to an Ohio State secondary. I mean, while Ohio State has the athletes that are able to match up with Alabama, right now Alabama's just a machine. Even yeah, with Saban, you know, wasn't able to coach yesterday, they didn't even need him. So, and I can't really think of, they're not going to get tripped up by LSU, not in the SEC championship game. So it should be easily that they're the number one seed. Now, what's going to come down to it is if Ohio State does happen to make the playoffs, I feel like they're not going to be ranked any higher than fourth, just because of everything that they've gone through, only playing possibly six games and not the national or Big Ten championship game. So, I mean, that's good. We've seen Ohio State beat Alabama a 4-1 before, but I don't know if even I'm as confident. Last time I wasn't confident. I'd be even with Justin Fields, I might be even less just because of what
on the other side.
Ohio State secondary. Yeah, exactly.
I would say I could see them being three if Clemson really puts it to Notre Dame. I think the fact that Notre Dame has a win over Clemson, albeit against a Trevor Lawrence-less and thin defense, Clemson, I think they still probably have a legitimate shot at that number four seed. And if they don't, I think Texas A&M might get there as a non-champion. So I think Ohio State has a chance at the three seed. And in fact, I might even put them as my favorite to be the three seed more than the four seed. But it really all depends on how it shakes out. If Florida does somehow beat Alabama in the SEC championship game, we very well could see two ACC versus two SEC teams, which would absolutely make 2020 the worst year in the history of the world. I don't know that I could deal with that.
And it would be even worse if that happened and an undefeated Cincinnati team was somehow kept out of the playoffs too.
BYU. or BYU.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's going to be quite an interesting last month until the playoff are announced. So let's just hope the Buckeyes are able to take care of what they have to do and hope for a little help.
Brett, thank you so much for taking the time to do this today. I'm a huge fan of yours, whether it's on Land Grant Holy Land, on Twitter, and now back in our podcast feed where you belong. Hopefully we'll get you to do this a little bit more often moving forward.
For sure. Thanks for having me, and I look forward to making more appearances in the future.
Awesome. Well, everybody, thank you for listening to this episode of Land Grant Holy Land in Conversation. You can follow Land Grant Holy Land on Twitter at LandGrant33. You can follow me on Twitter at BWWMatt. Brett, where can people follow you on Twitter to get your always optimistic and positive spin on the world of sports and pop culture and life in general?
They can follow me at BLEES17. BLEEZ17.
If you're finding this episode on LandGrantHolyLand.com, please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. We are bringing you a different podcast every single day of the college football season, whether you like it or not. Thanks again for listening, everybody. We will talk to you soon, and as always, go Bucks.